Please turn with me to Psalm chapter 139. The more I've been in the Word recently, I'm really enjoying reading through Psalms, and I'm finding that there are really incredible parallels in Psalms to other portions of Scripture. We were in the adult Bible study a couple of weeks ago, and Robert was preaching through or teaching through John. Were we in 15? John 15. And there's an adult Bible study coming up this Wednesday. I hope you can make it to that. It's really fun. But as I was listening to him teach, I thought, man, this is such a parallel to Psalm chapter 23. And it just really goes through almost exactly in step with the things that John is writing and the things that Jesus was saying. And we're going to find that's true again here in Psalm 139 and the realities of our walk with Jesus and the way that they are described here. Our mission as a church is to glorify God, to equip the saints, and to share the gospel. As a mission, this is the lens that we view everything that we do in the church, especially considering our time of gathering on Sunday mornings, because this is our main thing. This is our big deal, right? This is the thing that we do every week consistently. This is our best efforts. This is the most planning. This is the most people involved. We have a lot of people that do things on Sunday mornings to make things happen. Hey, I'm going to ask my kids one time, sit down and be quiet. And that's not asking, actually. Thank you. Yeah, it is. It's demanding. Don't talk anymore, though. Sunday mornings is our main thing. Primarily, we glorify God. That's the center of our services. That's the main thing about our worship. That's why we take so much time and we make all of this up here big and glorious, because we want to glorify God with everything that we do. It's very, very important to us. And we do it well. We do it well. I was at a Methodist church this morning, and they do worship very differently than we do. I like our stuff. It's good. It's good. We worship to make God's name great in our lives, to give him honor that he deserves, and to really just put ourselves in the right posture as creation to Creator. The next part of our mission is to equip the saints, and that's the preaching element of our service. That's why I spend time up here. That's why I spend time studying the Word to teach, so that we can give you the things that you need to walk through life as a believer. This comes from the Scriptures that tell us that the offices of the church exist to equip the saints for the ministry of the gospel. And that is a pretty broad scope. To give you the stuff that you need to live life as a Christian and to go out and do ministry is a lot. And so we do a lot of different things. We cover a lot of stuff. But it ends up meaning that as a church, we exist to help one another to become more like Jesus in everything that we say, think, and do. I really want, my desire is that when something happens to me, the way that I think about that thing is the same way that Jesus would have thought about that thing. The way that I respond to it is the same way that Jesus would have responded to it. I know I'm growing when I sound a whole lot less like Adam. When I surprise myself in the ways that I respond to things, I hope that's Jesus and not indigestion. That was funny. Thank you, Anna. When we started this equipment series last week looking at discipleship, if you missed that, I encourage you to go online and find that message. I encourage you to listen through that. Discipleship is an important part of what we are and who we are. It is our walk with Jesus throughout our lives. This morning we're going to look at a part of that, a portion of that, that we're going to call discovery. Today we're going to talk about discovery. For the sake of our conversation, For the sake of our conversation, discovery is a process where you begin to understand aspects of yourself and God from a formal perspective, for the purpose of determining what God has planned for your life and the purpose that He has for you, as much as we are able to understand it. There are things that we're not going to understand about our lives. There are things that we're not going to really be able to digest ever. But we want to try, and that is discovery. This would include understanding who God is and understanding the nature that He has gifted us with, our strengths and our weaknesses, our abilities and our failures. The desire of discovery comes out of, as we were talking about last week, the instructions and the desire to be useful. If you don't know who you are, you don't know how you can be used. If you don't know what you can do, you're not going to be doing anything. We have a small loft area. I'm calling it a loft, but it's not. It's like a 4-foot by 4-foot square of stairwell that the builders made weird in our house. As you're going up our stairs, there's a 4-foot by 4-foot spot that's not accessible in any way. It's not useful for any purpose, and they should have included it in a closet that's upstairs. They didn't. I don't know why they didn't do that, but they didn't. It's just a square. And so my kids are really excited about that space, so I built a ladder to get up there. And it's heavy. It's made out of 2x4s. It's good and sturdy. I wanted them to be able to get up and down the ladder. And Libby had asked for that for her birthday. And so one of them wanted to go up there the other day, and they wanted me to move the ladder because we don't leave it up there because we have infants. You don't want babies climbing up the ladder and falling. So we don't leave it up. We take it down anytime that's a risk. And so I said, no, you can move the ladder. It's not that heavy. It's something that you're capable of. And they were able to drag the ladder up the stairs. And I said, good. And they said, well, can you help me put it up the rest of the way? And I said, no, you put it up. And she looked at me. It's not possible. She looked at me with the, I can't do that, Dad, eyes. I said, no, you do it. You do it. Push. Try. Do. When we don't know our own strength, we stop and freeze, and we don't try a lot. When we don't know what we are actually capable of, we let the unknowing stop us from attempting. I'm guilty of that in my own life. I used my children so I didn't embarrass myself too much. And because that's not a bad story, it's a story where they were victorious. She was able to get the ladder into place and climb the ladder without any help. And soon they will always just live up there in that little 4-foot by 4-foot square because parents can't get there. I mean, I'm not going up. I built the ladder. I'm not going. It's good space. When we don't know what we can do, we often don't try. If we don't believe we're capable, we often stop short of attempting. Because trying is scary, right? Talking is scary, right? Doing is scary. So we have to discover. We want to be useful. My desire as a believer is to be a useful believer. I want to be useful in the kingdom of God. I don't want to be a bump on a log. Jesus did a lot for me. Has He done a lot for you? He's done a lot. He died on the cross. He arranges everything in perfect order. He makes all things work together for my good. He made steak taste delicious. It is good. There's goodness in the world because God made goodness. According to Scripture, we have a holy calling, a God-given purpose for our lives. And we want to know what that is so that we can walk in it. Being used according to your purpose is a good place to be. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says, He has saved us. Amen. That's good. He has saved us on the cross and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to Christ before Christ Jesus before time began. He has given us salvation and a calling. He has given us the ability and the instruction. The first thing that we need to know about discovery is that it doesn't happen outside of discipleship. Last week, we took a deep look at discipleship, our walk with Jesus. We follow, we listen, and we change. We want to be so close to Jesus that walking with him, that if we were walking with him in physical form, that we would be getting dirty because he's kicking dust up and we're living in it. We'd be tripping over his feet because we're so close and so intimate with him. And in that, we discover and we change. Discovery doesn't happen outside of discipleship. Jesus is not working on people that he hasn't saved, other than to get them to salvation. There's a step-by-step process. Day one of your faith in Jesus is repent of your sins, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's day one. Day two through forever is the rest of this. Discovery will not happen outside of discipleship. But once we get there, there are two ways that our discovery is going to happen. The first way is when we are walking along like Moses and God speaks to us. We weren't seeking. We weren't doing anything special. We were just trying to go about our lives, having a sort of relationship with God. And he says, hey, listen, burning bush. Burning bush moment. God stops you dead in your tracks and says, hey, listen, we're going to do something different. I've got things for you to do. I'm calling you into a place. I'm calling you to do a thing. In that, we feel like, hey, this is a little bit crazy. It's an unintentional discovery. God calling us into big stuff. I know that it was ordered by the creator of the universe, but to me, it feels very all of a sudden because I wasn't really looking for that. I call those the wait, what? Moments in our walk with Jesus. Anybody had a wait, what? Moment? Just me? Robert? Good? Okay, a couple of us. And Gaia? Just a couple of us. Wait, what? What did you say, Lord? What is that? Are you sure? Are you sure? The big, huh? What'd you say there, boss? I was already doing something. Not sure if you noticed. I had an understanding. You said to go, and I was going, and I was doing, and I was in the Bible study, and I was teaching sometimes, and I was doing the stuff, and I was leading the worship, and didn't you see I was doing all that? I actually didn't need anything else. Truth be told, that was enough. There are times when God interrupts that stream that we think we're in, that walk that we are on our own with him, and we're doing the things, and he says, hey, listen, take off your shoes. This is holy ground. You're going to speak to the Almighty Creator of the universe for a few moments, and I got some things to say. And he stops us in our tracks. When there is a moment that we are called into something that God may have been preparing us for throughout our whole lives, we discover his purpose for us in that moment. And it's kind of a shock. That's one way of discovery. I experienced that, and like I said, I was thinking about this earlier when we were called to pastor. Being called to pastor was a moment like that for me, where God stopped us kind of in the middle of some other things we had going on, and it was kind of a shock. And wonderful thing about that story was it was just me that he gave that information to at first, and that was really cool. Not at all. Actually, it's kind of a an interesting time. It was a we were serving as youth ministers here. Eden and I had been youth ministering for a while, and we were taking kids to camp, and we were doing the things, and we were trying to faithfully serve in that area. And we went to a camp, and I came back with this desire in my heart to get my license to pastor. And I dealt with that for a while, and I struggled with that. And I said, well, God, I don't really need that to youth pastor, so seems like kind of a waste of time. And me and God argued about that for a little while. Those of you that were around back then know that, hey, there was actually a lot of pastors serving in our church. There were a lot of leaders serving in our church, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense for me to go down that path. In fact, I was making like $13 an hour at that point, and the cost of it seemed even prohibitive. It didn't seem like this was not a good plan. And God only told me. That was one of those stop you in your tracks moments of God saying, hey, this is a thing. And he didn't tell anyone else. That was one thing in my life, really, where it would have been okay for me to be the last one to know. Actually, it would have been great if God would have told Pastor Dan first, and Pastor Dan would have said, hey, listen, did you know God has this calling on your life? I believe this. I've heard it prophetically, and this is where you're going to go. That is not the way that it went. I had a burning desire within me, and then I had to tell my wife, and she said no at first. And then God had to then confirm that in other people. I had to explain it to or share it with Pastor Dan. I had to share it with Dan Munt, our supervisor at that time. And there was a lot of conversations, and a lot of it was just, hey, I don't know, this is a thing, and here we go. And Dan, in his wonderful, throughout a wonderful mentorship, said, hey, listen, it's not up to us, but we'll go. We'll do the things. That's not exactly the way that he said that, but it was a walk that we started at that moment because of the things that God was doing in my life and the things that God said, hey, stop, listen. Sometimes a discovery in our lives is, hey, stop, listen. That's one way. And in that, God confirmed those things to other people, and it all worked out because God is who he is. And we're 5 years into that now, and it's working out, right? Good? Got a lot of babies in here today making noise, but otherwise it seems to be all right. But I was thinking the other day, what happens if and when God calls us to something else? Who am I then? I love this. I love loving people. I love protecting people and guiding people. I like pastoring. This is fun. What if we'd have said no? What if we would have ignored that altogether? It's been such a blessing. When God gives you a thing, it will be good for you. When God gives you direction, it will be good for you. That is one way of discovery. When God stops you where you are to give you something you need to do next, the calling on your life. From my personal experience, it is wonderful. And we were in the middle of something else, and God called us to this, and it's been great. The other way, and this is the way we're going to talk about more today, is when we are being intentional in seeking the next thing. This happens when we are at a pause, where things have kind of slowed down, where something has changed. Maybe it's something that we are relieved of. We had something that we were doing, and now we're in a new season. We're desperate for something, where we need something. We need something to change. And so we go to God and we say, hey, maybe you had other plans. Maybe something else was supposed to happen here. Could you tell me what to do next? When we're desperate, when we're stopped, when we're relieved, we seek the Father. This can happen when we feel like we've lost our purpose, when our drive is gone, when things didn't work out the way that we thought we should, and now we're here. And this kind of isn't really what we thought God had for us. or now something has become resolved. Things finally shook out, good or bad. This can happen when our children move out, or our parents pass away, or we finish school, or we get through that one big hump, or we leave our job, or a season for some reason comes to a close. David, who was a king of Israel for a while, wrote most of the book of Psalms, and it's near the center of your Bible. I already said we're going to be in Psalm 139 for a little while this morning. But he wrote his experiences, his struggles, his discovery of who God was and who he was. He wrote a lot about his walk with God. I default to his walk with Jesus, but David didn't walk with Jesus the way that we do. But he wrote about the good things and the sad things. In Psalm 139, he describes the journey of discovery for us to read and apply to our lives. This is a picture of what this intentional discovery really looks like and will look like for us. And I want to read through the whole chapter. Some of it applies to this today, some of it doesn't, but content and context are good to know anyway. It says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This wondrous knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Where can I go to escape your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I live on the eastern horizon or settle on the western limits, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will hold on to me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night shines like the day. The darkness and light are alike to you. For it is you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones are not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me. How vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. God, if only you would kill the wicked. You bloodthirsty men, stay away from me who invoke you deceitfully. Your enemies swear by you falsely. Lord, don't I hate those who hate you and detest those who rebel against you? I hate them with extreme hatred. I consider them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. That sounds to me like a man in discovery. David has gotten to a point where now he's got to deal with some things with the Lord. He stopped at a place where some things are happening, and he's a little bit desperate, and he says, God, you know me better than I know me. Nothing about my life is secret to you. Help me understand. Help me understand. When we stop for whatever reason, we begin to work towards discovery. David gives us this example. There are times when our paths with Jesus, our walk with Jesus, is going to look just like this, where we're looking for an answer. I've been at that place many times in my life. God, I don't know what to do. Help me. God, you know what I'm going to say. Please stop me from saying anything stupid. Help me in this moment to get through this into the next thing. God, search me and guide me and give me direction. I need you to help me on the next. The call that God has for your life is better than what you can come up with on your own. Charles Spurgeon said it this way: if God calls you to be a minister, do not stoop to be a king. The call that God has on your life, the purpose that He has for you is better than anything that you can come up with on your own. That's the truth. If God has called you to do something, it doesn't matter what the world has for you. What God has for you is better. It is incredibly better. If God calls you to be a minister, do not stoop to be a king. Do not fall to mere rulership when you can be working for the kingdom of God. When you can be doing the things that God purposefully and wondrously created you for. We don't always know what that is. And that's a struggle for me and you because we want to know. Throughout this passage of Scripture, throughout this chapter, I see a few things. The first is that God really, really, really knows me. And I can't say really enough in that sentence. God knows me, and He knows you. He knows Dan better than Dan knows Dan. He has counted the hairs on his head. He has numbered them. It's not that hard of a feat these days. Simple mathematics. But He's known Dan his whole life, since he was born, since he was formed in his mother's womb, since before time began. He knew what Dan would do. He knew about this place called Roquette. He knew of the people that Dan would interact with, and he ordered his steps, and he wrote the things down that he would need. I also see that we desperately don't know ourselves. I really don't know my strengths and weaknesses. I really don't know the things that God has set apart for me to do. I really don't know what God has for me to accomplish. I wake up every day and just try to do my best. But God has something in that for us. God is involved in the intricacies of our lives. He knows about the conversations I'm going to have today. I hope I honor Him well in those. Because I would sometimes not. And discovery is necessary. David talks here about he goes to the Lord for this discovery, and he looks to God for information. He says, God, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to behave? God, look at me. Look at me and tell me. Lead me in the everlasting way. David had an understanding of what it meant to be a shepherd and what it meant to be shepherded. And so he said, hey, take me by the neck and put me where I need to go, please. God knows us. We don't really know ourselves. Who you say you are and who God says you are not always the same. Did you know that? The identity that I take upon myself, the things that I call myself, are not necessarily the things that God would call me. The person that you are and the person that God has called you to be are also not always the same. We're not always walking in step with what God has planned for us. As we grow in our faith, there are things that God will show us about us that are contrary to His purpose and His plan for us. That is discovery. Where He looks at me and says, hey, Adam, did you know? I don't really like that. Did you know that behavior doesn't really honor me? Did you know that the way that you are treating that person isn't according to my will. It's not giving me glory. It's not doing the things that I wanted you to do. Actually, if you would have behaved correctly, that person would be in church next Sunday. You're an idiot. Maybe I'm the only one that God calls an idiot. And maybe that's just me in my own head, you know. It's a transliteration. It's like the Message Bible. It's not word for word. It's kind of more like thought for thought. God didn't say I was an idiot, but he implied it pretty heavily. As we grow in our faith, there are things that God is going to show us about us. Things that we need to know so that we have the desire and the will to do something. Because he's already given us the strength to do it. And other things that he will show us that are contrary to his will. God is going to point out and help us understand our shortcomings and our gifts. That's what David is going through here. He says, show me where I've fallen short and show me what is good. That's part of our walk as a believer. Robert mentioned David and Goliath yesterday at the men's breakfast, and he talked about how we kind of see David as the underdog in this situation, but the reality is that David was perfectly positioned and perfectly trained for that moment because he'd been playing with rocks his whole life. He'd been playing with that sling since the day he could play with it. And so when he got to that moment and picked up five heavy stones, he was perfectly placed at the perfect moment with all the tools that he needed to accomplish the work that God had for him. God is going to point out and help us understand our shortcomings and our gifts. Our gifts are to be used for the glory of God and for the edification of one another. We don't really know ourselves. The reality is I can't tell you what really my body could accomplish. I couldn't really tell you what my brain can do. I can't really tell you what I would say in the next situation as it comes. And in fact, there are times when I have to stop and say, I don't know, let me think about that. I would like a day to answer, please, actually. I would like to come back to this conversation in 3 days' time because I don't know. I might mess that up. Give me a few moments. We don't really know ourselves. David described not knowing. And some of that, he says it right out. I don't know. I don't know. And in some ways, he says, God, you know me so well. You knew me before I was born. You knew before my bones were formed. You saw me when I was formless. I wish I knew what you were thinking, God. That's discovery. I wish I knew what you were thinking. Discovery is necessary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time. This is discovery. Discovery is being willing to let God lead and direct and teach. Where we stop ourselves from making the next decision so that God can have some input. Where we say, okay, I'm waiting. Discovery is necessary. So how do we do that? How do we do that? The first thing, and I know you guys are tired of hearing your pastor say, read your Bible, but read your Bible. Read your Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, I've heard applied in a lot of different ways. But in this specifically, as we're talking about getting to know ourselves, getting to know who God is and what he wants for us, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us how important it is to understand the Word of God. It says, "For the Word of God is a living and effective is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as separation of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." The Word of God is necessary to discover who you truly are. And it is effective at that. It's incredibly powerful for that. It is the right tool for that. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts both directions. It shows you exactly who you are made to be and exactly where you're failing. That's a scary place to be. The Word of God does that for us. And I know, I say in almost every sermon, read your Bible. Read your Bible. For the Word of God is effective. The next thing that we need to do is we need to be in prayer. And I know I say that every week. We need to be in prayer. We need to be praying more. But the reality is, praying in this time of discovery, praying to intentionally learn what God would have for us to do, is the way that we communicate with God. If you want instructions, ask. If you lack wisdom, ask for it, and he does what? He provides for it. He gives it. I don't even have to put that one on the screen. We should have it in our hearts. If you lack wisdom, ask for it, and he gives it to you. We pray. And the most practical thing, and probably the more difficult thing, is we start talking to the people around us. We start bringing other people into this journey. Our walk is our own, but it is not our own. Excuse me. Our walk is our own, but it is not on our own. Our walk is our own, but it is not on our own. You cannot do this by yourself. You should not do this by yourself. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Don't forsake the gathering together." We should be together so that we help each other with this. And then as you learn it, use it. As you discover, God has this gift for me, God has this plan for me, God has this figured out for me, use it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, "For just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. If anyone speaks, let it be as one who speaks God's words. If anyone serves, let it be from the strength that God provides, so that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ in everything. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen." Our walk with Jesus involves discovery, and in that we learn, hey, he's actually positioned me for something. He's actually given me the tools for something. That's weird. I'm actually sort of good at that. Why am I good at that? What's going on there? I actually didn't like talking to people a few years ago. Now I can't stop talking. And now it's my fault that we're late to lunch. Why is it my fault we're late to lunch? What's going on here? We're supposed to be provoking one another to good works. We do that with one another. But we also have to understand that this is, I said, our walk is our own, but it's not on our own. We work together, but we're not looking at one another. I can't compare my walk with Jesus with Dan's walk with Jesus, because the call that God's given me in my life is not the same call that Dan has in his life. The things that he's provided for me to do are not the same things that he's provided for Dan to do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not look at one another for, hey, why is Robert good at every instrument that plays music? And I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Well, one of you is supposed to be a worship leader, and one of you is supposed to be doing something else. You can't all be worship leaders. And maybe this is a season in Robert's life, maybe it's his whole life, but that ain't about you. We're supposed to discover what we have and build on what we have. God knows us and we don't really know ourselves. So it's an awkward part of our discipleship, but it's necessary. We have to come to know God on a deeper level. We have to come to know ourselves on a deeper level. And in that, God reveals for us our failures and our weaknesses, but also our gifts and our equipping. Just like he did with David. Just like David describes here in Psalm 139. God, you're with me all the time. You know me very well. Show me. Discovery is necessary. When we get past just the elementary side of discipleship, we have to go into this next deeper level of growth where we discover things about ourselves. Sometimes God is going to do that in a stop you in the middle of the street kind of moment, but other times God is going to say, hey, listen, you're at this place, you're at a pause, let's work this out. This is coming at the end of the year for a lot of us. We've got kids who are graduating. We've got kids who are going into the summer and things are going to change. We've got people who are changing jobs. We've got people who are just at this new place in their lives. We've got marriages that are starting. We've got people who are retiring. We've got people who are doing all sorts of things. This is a new season in your life. Start that new season with discovery. God, what do you want in this? How do we glorify you the most in this? What does this new season look like? Show me where I am weak. Show me where I am strong. Show me what I'm supposed to be doing here. We've got a lot of transition happening in our church over the next couple of months. And as I look around the room, it's happening. There's a lot of it. People that are here, people that aren't here, there's a lot of stuff happening in our church. This is a time where we go into that deeper mode of discipleship where we start saying, okay, God, it's a new season. I'm waiting on you. God, you know me, and we can pray exactly through Psalm 139. God, you know me better than I know me. Show me where I'm weak. God, you know me better than I know me. Show me where I'm strong. Help me in this next season to do exactly what you want me to do. Place me in exactly the place that you want me to be. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. Discovery is necessary, and that's where we're going. And it affects so many of you today. I hope that we can get to that place. We're going to go into a time of communion. Let us pray and we'll do that. God, I thank you for the closeness that we have, the intimacy that we have with you. God, I ask that the things that you have laid on our hearts today would really penetrate and they would help us to come to know you better. God, draw us into a time of discovery. Draw us into a time where we want to know you more. God, help us to know ourselves better. Help us to get to a place where we know where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. God, I ask that you would give us wisdom as we go through the rest of this day and forever walking with you. And I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.